after 8, a little past 7:30. I'll turn the public hearing over to Mr. Griffith, and one thing to make a change, I guess we moved 1651 to the front. Is that correct?
We did. 1651 Caldera Properties, Indian River 5 LLC was moved to first place. As most of the people involved with this first application know, when council holds public hearings on zoning applications are considered to be legislative hearings. Council uses the information obtained during the hearing to determine whether to modify the comprehensive land use map as requested by the applicant. At the beginning, we will have a brief report from the Director of Planning and Zoning telling us what happened to each application at the level of the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing. After that happens, we will then recognize the person who filed the application or someone who may be representing them to present their case. After they have presented any information they wish to present in support of their application, we will ask if there's anyone else present who supports the application and also anyone present who objects. All persons will be recognized either on who are present in support of or in opposition to any application. After both sides have been recognized, if the commission made a recommendation, then council can take action if they desire to do so. If the commission did not make a recommendation, council will wait for that. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. First application is change of zone number 1651, the application of Caldera Properties in Indian River 5 LLC. It's an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a MR medium density residential district to a MR RPC medium density residential district residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, for land lying southeast of Road 346A and 3,100 feet east of Road 346, and to be located on 78.228 acres more or less. Planning and Zoning Commission opened public hearing on this application. The commission was provided with an exhibit booklet, an appendency that was provided by the applicant prior to the meeting. Council has before it two booklets, one a black soft binder and the other a three ring binder, which is the appendices, the same as what the commission received. The commission was advised that staff had received the plus comments and that the response to the plus comments is a part of the record of the application. We'd received letters from DENREC, Division of Water Resources, Wetlands, and Sebaquis Land Section referencing the application. We had received comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division with comments. The commission found that the PLUS review letter of February 25th, 2008 is a part of the record for the application. James Fuqua, attorney, was present on behalf of Caldera Properties, Indian River 5 LLC, and stated that the applicants and the opponents have been working to resolve some issues and requested that the public hearing be tabled until a July meeting, that a prior version of the application was denied by the commission and approved by county council, that the council's decision was appealed by Ms. Barbara Murray, the neighboring property owner, that the decision of the council was overturned by the courts, and that they are now filing for reconsideration of the application. Michael Malkowitz, attorney, was present with Ms. Murray and agreed with Mr. Fuqua requesting a continuation. The commission discussed this request and found that Mr. Fuqua added that they would notify PLUS if the change in the plan was substantial, that the access to the property is the issue, and that the applicants and opponents have agreed to try to work out their differences very quickly. Mr. Robertson stated that the rules and procedures of the commission would allow for such a continuation. There were no parties present, or no other parties present in opposition. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to table this public hearing until July 10th of 2008, whereby the public hearing will be continued on that date, and that motion carried 5-0. And that is my report.
Is there a similar request to be brought forward tonight?
I believe there is. Okay. Mr. Griffin.
Mr.
I think this gentleman's going to do that for us.
Could you explain that to us?
Yes, gentlemen, for the record, my name is Jim Fuqua. I'm an attorney in Georgetown representing the applicant, and hopefully this will be my shortest presentation to you.
History, huh?
I'll support this one.
Are you done yet?
We're just asking you to do the same thing the Planning Commission did. I'd suggest perhaps naming the date for your hearing in August so that the matter wouldn't have to be re-advertised.
When we open a public hearing, we certainly give anyone who may be in opposition an opportunity to speak. Are the opponents represented, and do they share and join in this application?
Yes, Mr. Malkiewicz is here, and I'll allow Mr. Malkiewicz to speak for himself.
Okay.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
My name is Michael Malkiewicz, Barrows, McNamara, Malkiewicz, and Taylor, Lewis, and Seaford, and Dover. And I'm here on behalf of Ms. Barbara Murray, who's the adjoining landowner to this proposal. We all met before about this proposal, or similar proposal, and I'm here on behalf of her to say that we would very much ask you to please allow us time to work through things. We've had already two meetings with all the powers that be, which have been fruitful. It's all geared toward preserving the environment and not having anything to do with wetlands, and it's coming along very well. We just need some more time, and we ask that you please postpone this.
If this, if your negotiation should be successful, would the potential result be that there would, at least your client would not be opposing the application, potentially?
We would probably come here and speak in favor of it.
Do we know whether there are any persons here tonight who are not represented by you, Mr. Malkiewicz, who may also be in opposition?
No, Mr. Moyer was our expert witness on wetlands. He was prepared to testify tonight, but he's with Ms. Murray. I don't know of anyone else. There might be, but I don't know of anybody else.
We can ask. Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to the application on CC 1651 Caldera Properties, Indian River 5? Let the record show no one else asked to be recognized.
It doesn't matter, like the state agencies, there were some negative comments from DNREC. It doesn't matter about
those would be heard at the public hearing. Right. What they're asking to do is just move this public
just
hearing forward.
Okay. All right. I got it.
For July the 10th, as P&Z said, they were they asked for.
We would need to have a motion to do the same thing, but to move our hearing to a date that is 45 days beyond July 10th.
45 beyond?
Well, it gives them the maximum time needed to give us a recommendation. And the next council date after that would be Tuesday, August 26th.
I make a motion we...
Well, August 20, don't we have... Aren't we off the Labor Day or something?
In August 26th.
We have an August break.
Well, we got set a date.
Yep. Well...
You got set a date.
We don't... If you set a date, then the public's on... Okay. You know, it's continued to a specific
date. Yeah, we are
date.
Off.
No, we're off, right?
You want me to get the book to make sure?
What's the next?
Oh, you already know.
What's the next day beyond then?
Then there's Labor Day. There's 2 weeks there we're off, I think.
Yeah.
We're down. So you'd have to be the...
Well, why don't you just continue?
Second one in September.
You can do it when we want to. Later on, somewhere down there.
We are off.
Yeah, you're off the 26th and the 2nd.
No way there's public notice by tonight's minutes. That
have to be the 9th
of
September if we want to.
One thing I remember, gentlemen.
The 9th of September, Jim.
Okay.
By don't by giving a date, it puts the public on notice that there is a date that it would continue. We don't have to re-advertise.
The 9th of September.
I make a motion we continue the hearing of 1651 till the first meeting in September.
Second. Yeah, first meeting. Yeah, right. It'll be the 9th. That would be the 9th of
whenever
September.
Whenever it is.
We'll let Robin figure that out, huh? It is a night, though. I need a second, gentlemen.
I'll second that.
Okay. So we move to second. We move the public hearing 1651 till September the 9th. Mr. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. Thank you.
Thank you.
We didn't say what year. September 9th, what year. Remember that, Google.
209.
210.
But it'll be 7 voting by then.
212.
He might have to reorganize.
I'll be the only one sitting here. 212.
By yourself.
By yourself.
Might be.
collecting that insurance, right?
Let's go, Norm.
At Cadillac.
Cadillac.
Blank, the next one's 1783, Allen's Hatchery.
You want a continuation, too? Till next year?
No, he wants to put railroad down.
This is an application for Allen's Hatcheries Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a railroad loop for agricultural use. Should be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 68.6 acres, more or less, lying one quarter mile north of Road 544 and west of and adjacent to the Norfolk Southern Railroad line. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on April 24th of 2008. Mr. Robertson advised the commission that the railroad loop is actually located in the AR district and would be a permitted use in an LI2 light industrial or an HI1 heavy industrial zoning district. Commission found that Chick Allen was present on behalf of the Allen's Hatcher Incorporated and stated that the railroad loop is needed to serve the feed mill. The commission found that Mr. Allen submitted a tax map of the area depicting the mill site, which is zoned HI1 heavy industrial, and the surrounding lands owned by the Allen family, which are zoned AR1. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this application. Mr. Gordy stated there is a need for this use to serve the poultry industry. Mr. Johnson stated that the use will serve the mill, which will serve agriculture in the area, and the use is appropriate in the agricultural area. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1783 for Allen Hatcher Incorporated for a railroad loop, since it supports the agricultural community, since it is an appropriate location in the AR1 Agriculture Residential District, since the railroad loop furthers the purpose of agriculture in the county, and since there will be no negative impacts on neighboring properties or property values. There was a motion second and carried unanimously to forward this application to the council with a recommendation that this application be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. An additional comment was received by fax today. It is from Michael T. Skuse, Secretary of the Department of Agriculture. And it states that the council agenda for today's date lists a conditional use permit application review. If approved, said conditional use would allow Allen's Hatchery to install a railroad loop at the new facility in Seaford. Allen's Hatchery is an integral component of Delaware's animal agriculture economy and community. The installation of this railroad loop is required for the future success of this facility's operations. During these tough economic times, operational improvements can make a big difference in the company's bottom line. In addition, whenever a government action can encourage the use of railroad transportation, which is a better use of our precious energy resources, that opportunity should be taken. States that Mr. Skuse strongly supports Allen Hatchery's conditional use application and encourages the council to approve this request. He believes it will significantly enhance our overall agricultural economy. And if you have any questions, you may contact Mr. Skuse or Mark Davis of his staff. That's all I have, gentlemen.
Mr. Allen.
Council President, members of the council, good evening. We have the application.
Would you give us your name and address just for the record?
I will. My name's Chick Allen. I'm from Seaford. I'm the president and CEO of Allen's Hatchery. And here tonight to ask for permission to build our railroad that we badly need for our feed mill.
I agree with you.
I think we've supplied, I hope, an adequate amount of information. I've got my cadre of experts here tonight, Mr. Miller, who's our Vice President of Support Services, and he has the engineering responsibilities. He has Mr. Hebner, one of our senior engineers, and, of course, I have the mill manager, my son Chad, who's responsible for the site.
He's going to be laying the railroad for ties.
He's got his eyes on your job.
I hope he does. I hope all these guys do. I don't know what else I can present to you. Tell you that the railroad service is critical to the operation of the mill. It's critical to the service of our company.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it facilitates an additional outlet for farmers to to market their grain. It's another competitive source in buying grain for farmers in the region. And I don't want to burden you with a tremendous amount of minutia.
Right. More details, we'll get foggy up here.
Yeah.
Any questions of Mr. Allen, gentlemen?
Nope.
Was there anyone else you wanted to have address council, yeah, Mr. Allen, with you?
Not unless the council has questions that I can't answer.
Okay.
You can be seated. It's fine. That'd be cool. We'll be all right here.
Thank you.
We're required to ask, is there anyone here who opposes this application? Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized and no one is present in opposition to the application. The title of this proposed ordinance is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a railroad loop for agricultural use to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 68.6 acres more or less. And please, when you, before you cast your votes, please give your reasons.
I make a motion we approve CU 1783.
Second.
We move to second that we approve conditional use 1783. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
That's a pretty good statement.
Any reasons, Mr. Cole?
Nope.
We do need some findings.
Well, it's a
nice corn.
There's a need for.
You eat chicken.
No, I eat like ducks. yeah, there is a need for it, and it's obvious. It's with different types of transportation problems in this county, the rail spur will be very helpful.
Okay. Mr. Phillips?
Certainly a need. It's good for agriculture, which is the mainstay of this county, I would guess.
Mr. Dukes?
The Allens have been around a long time, and with the new feed mill they've got there, bringing grain in, and they definitely need it, and my vote is yes.
Mr. Rogers?
It's needed. I support agriculture and vote yes.
I also support the application. It's certainly with fuel prices and everything, the rail is going to be the main squeeze for a long time, I think. My vote is yes. Motion passed. Thank you.
Will that reduce the cost of chicken?
Thank you.
No, this might hold the level.
We appreciate the support.
Thank you very much.
Next case.
Maybe you can give us a tour of your new plant after you get it running.
Yep.
I'd be happy to do that. I really would. May I take a minute of the council?
Sure.
Yes.
In addition to the feed mill, we're planning an open house. Do you know when that is? June?
June 3rd.
Is it June 3rd? No, for the feed mill. We're going to be having an open house for the agricultural community, mm-hmm. and I'll be sure that members of the council are notified and invited to that. It's not only a tour of the new feed mill, it's a tour of a new chicken house that we're adding to one of our company farms directly adjacent to this. So there'll be a state-of-the-art broiler house there in conjunction with the open house for the feed mill. I'd be happy to have you all take a look at this facility. It's expensive, and it's very nice. It's a commitment to agricultural interests, you know, by our company, and you know, hopes that we can continue to keep our farmers, you know, in strong economic viability.
What's the energy source you're using in that new chicken house?
The energy source, that one will be electric. Electric fans, propane heat.
None of the solar or any of these windmills or anything like that?
It's not like the solar project that we're in conjunction with the University of Delaware.
Okay,
that's a study project.
Okay.
Since I got you here, there's been the implication from the Department of Agriculture that they would be doing the bidding of the poultry industry by supporting a downzoning, a mass downzoning of rural property in order to ensure a critical mass of farmland. The farm community, the Farm Bureau, and others recognize that downzoning would create a tremendous loss of equity, which is required to build those very expensive poultry houses. Where do you stand on?
I'm not familiar with the issue.
Thank you very much. Have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow.
So when the Secretary of Agriculture references the heads of the poultry companies as supporting some of these Livable Delaware initiatives that would create a massive downzoning, maybe he's misspeaking a little bit?
Well, I can't know. I wouldn't say that. He may have spoken with someone else in our company. one of our other vice presidents who heads up, you know, our live operations, you know, or our executive vice president, chief operating officer. He may have discussed it with them. He's not discussed it with me. I'm not familiar with the issue.
Important issue. You might want to
I understand the complexity and the importance of it, but, you know, this area has been an agricultural area for a long time, and, you know, our family has been here for close to 90 years in this business, and we support agriculture and we support our farmers.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Okay, Lawrence.
Next item is change zone number 1620, the application of Bob's Marine Service Incorporated to amend a comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, for land lying west of Route 17, also known as Roxana Road, 600 feet south of Route 26, and to be located on 2.038 acres, more or less. The commission was provided at the public hearing on April 24th of 2008 with an exhibit booklet, which was provided prior to the public hearing, and I've provided a copy for each of you at the podium. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We'd received three letters of support for the application, one from Pierce Hardy Limited Partnership, which is 84 Lumber, Gerald W. and Emily W. Hocker, and Wayne's Discovery, LLC. Carl Littleton, Vice President of Bob's Marine Service Incorporated, was present with David Hutt, attorney, and gave presentations and testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change zone 1620 for Bob's Marine Service Incorporated to amend the zoning map from AR1 agriculture residential to CR1 commercial residential. Based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the subject property is located on Route 17, which is classified by DLDOT as a major collector route, and being close to Route 26, a minor arterial route. Two, the subject property is located immediately adjacent to an existing C1 general commercial district. Three, under the 2002 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update, the subject property is within the environmentally sensitive developing area. Four, the proposed use of the subject property is in character with the nature of the surrounding area. Five, the proposed commercial use of the subject property meets the general purpose of the zoning ordinance by promoting the orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the county. There was a motion, yes. Second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that this application be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
Questions, Mr. Lang, gentlemen? Yep.
Mr. Gibbs.
Good evening, Mr. Jones and members of council, Mr. Griffin. I'm Robert Gibbs. I'm with Wilson, Howbrook & Byard, and I'm here tonight on behalf of Bob's Marine Service, Inc., in the application for change of zone number 1620. I do have two additional books if there were any members needing an additional set of exhibits.
I think everybody's got one. Yep, good.
I also have 10 copies of a slightly modified proposed findings of fact for
the... From this one?
I'll pass them down.
Different from this one, Lawrence?
They've altered a couple of them.
We don't really have a whole lot new from the presentation that was made to the Planning and Zoning Commission. I do have Mr. Tracy Littleton, who is president of Bob's Marine Service, with us tonight. The property is Sussex County Parcel 13411, Parcel 199, and I refer to it as Parcel 199 in several of the exhibits. It's a little bit over 2 acres. It is a property which is contiguous with and immediately to the south of Bob's Marine Service business property, which is the site of Bob's Marine Service, Inc., which is a corporation which has been involved in marine sales and service beginning in 1978. It's 30-year birthday this year. It's been conducted at that current location on the west side of Route 17, Roxana Road, just south of Atlantic Avenue, Route 26, since 1982. The exhibits that I have presented in support of this application include information on the applicant owner, Bob's Marine, and the type of business facts I just recited, as well as the primary reason for this change of zone application, which is to utilize this additional piece of property that Bob's Marine purchased a number of years ago for expanding its business property and utilizing the rear portion of the property for secure boat storage. The front, approximate half of the property is residentially used at this point. It was until very recently, with the death of Ormal Savage Sr., occupied by him, and now will remain in residential use for an indeterminate amount of time until possibly future expansion, you know, would be asked for at a future date. Exhibit number two is a copy of the application with a smaller size plot plan. Exhibit three shows, it has information on the subject property, which I've already touched upon, but it shows the location. It goes into a little bit more detail of the improvements. It's served by a well. At this point, this secure boat storage is not going to need any utilities at all, but it gets into the service of water, sewer, and so forth on the adjacent Bob's Marine property. The fourth exhibit is just a map which shows the location of the property there, very close to the intersection of 17 and 26. Exhibit five is an aerial photograph with a red arrow showing an aerial view of the property. Exhibit six highlights the property number, again, parcel 199 on a tax map. And Exhibit 7 shows the zoning map. That's one you may want to look at. I have indicated parcel, again, 199 there, which is immediately south of the commercial to the west of Roxana Road. You can see it's a largely a commercial area, and this is not a completely surrounded infill, but I think it's properly classified as an infill application. Exhibit 8 is worth looking at. It shows all of the related businesses that surround this property, and each of the named businesses there, Pierce Hardy Real Estate, which is the site of 84 Lumber, Parcel Funeral Homes, Summer House Antique, Eastern Shore Car Dealer, Holtz Package Store, the Route 26 Car Wash, Hocker's Grocery Store, Creative Concepts, and Bob's Marine, of course, are all have either written a letter in support of or have noted no objection to this application. The commercial property, which is across the street for sale, we did not want to contact the owners, but we understand that that is on board for development of an 84 lumber site. Exhibit 9 is the Sussex County Comp Plan existing use map. That's 9A. It just lists in the existing comp plan that this is a forested property. You can see in Exhibit 10 the site map, which I see a number of you have opened up, that there is a portion of the property, a good part of this rear property is wooded. A portion of it is cleared for chicken houses, which will be demolished, and the front portion of the property is the residential home in which Ormal Savage had a life estate. Exhibit 10, or actually 9B, is the future land use plan, which is Mr. Lank read from the minutes of the commission. It is an environmentally sensitive developing area. I note that in the comp plan, there are numerous notations that reflect that this is an appropriate use of the property under the future comp plan. It notes additional commercial uses will be needed. These uses should be limited to neighborhood shopping and businesses to serve the rapidly expanding population. Village-scale shopping centers are preferred location for these services. I note that the Roxana Road, Atlantic Avenue intersection is considered a village-scale shopping center. In the strategies for state policies and spending, this whole area is identified as investment level 2. Tab 11 is a survey prepared by Lawrence Long, which I know you've been looking at, which just simply shows that the rear of this subject property is intended to be used for boat storage. Those numbered lots are not anything other than just a depiction of, you know, a layout for these lots. There's no subdivision or anything. It's just a layout for lots.
Does that imply that that would be the number of boats, all that would be stored there? Because I'm
that's yeah.
And are they capable of lining them up like that? Because I've seen their current lot. Tracy, you know that
as long as Tracy doesn't drive the forklift, I think.
But is that the intent? I mean, to lay them out like this and park them? Because I'm just wondering, some of them are 40 feet deep. How many 40-foot boats you're going to have back in there?
Well, you stop and figure if a boat's on a trailer.
But could we get
a 5-foot boat will take 30 feet of okay. space.
If Mr. Littleton's going to have input into the record, we need to get him to recognize.
Yeah. All right. We need a spill of guts in the primary for that.
Would you like to stop in here for Mr. Littleton at this point?
Well, I was just curious if there was going to okay. That's the layout. That was the intent, was to lot, you know, put a one boat per lot type of layout, which is
yes.
It seems we haven't seen this too often.
I was just okay.
You have to come on.
State your name and address first.
Tracy Littleton, owner or president of Bob's Marine Service, home address 2 Moonlight Drive, Dagsboro, Delaware.
Thank you.
The layout of this was just kind of give us an idea how many boats we could get on that spot. Right. So whether they get positioned exactly like that may or may not happen. But it just gives you an idea of what kind of boats can be put there.
While you're there, I guess it is all thickly wooded there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With the next guy, Brazier's property, mm-hmm. it's only 5 feet off the line. Do you intend to clear right to the line, or do you?
We probably would. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're going to clear everything. Okay.
Any other questions?
Go ahead. What is on Brazier? He doesn't have a chicken house. The chicken house is further down, isn't it?
He actually has a chicken house on his side of the property. The only chicken house that's here is one Ormel Savage has, and it's very small.
Yours, right? But on Brazier's.
Brazier still has one that actually joins his property.
Okay.
I'm almost through the exhibits here. While we've got the survey open, I'll introduce exhibit 11. A and B as well. This subject property on the, I guess it's the west side, and which it's at the top of the drawing, and then on further, further west and then north. That is the St. George's tax ditch runs along the. That end of this property, the subject property, and further on Bob's Marine. And there is a map that shows that St. George's tax ditch running along these properties. I met with
another part of the property, or phase two property, or phase one property, right? Is that what you're talking about?
It runs along the, if you're looking at this, on the top of the map,
right,
right along the, it's actually the west,
PR guy,
south.
And I know it's recorded, but I know the tax ditch says, you know, you're moving the fence 10 feet away. And I assume that line is.
On the earlier, on the original application, the little plot plan that was submitted with it,
right.
showed a fence maybe 10 feet away.
That's what it says.
This has been changed based upon the meeting that we had with tax ditch officials. There's actually an 80-foot clearance easement. On both sides of the center line of the ditch.
Right.
The historically, this ditch has been cleared from the other property. And there, you can actually see that on this map and on the aerial photograph, both. You can see that there's been a clearing along there in the woods.
Must not be any trees on the other side.
Sorry?
There must not be no trees on the other side. Right. Pick it on it. Yep.
No, it's wooded too, except for the ditch.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
The whole thing, yeah, there's a big chunk of woods there. We need
it. Shows up on Taya Bay.
All right. So
we discussed with the tax ditch authorities about the 80-foot easement and whether or not that would actually be required, since historically the clean out has been from the other side, number one, and number two, if we put a removable chain link fence approximately 25 feet from the center line of the ditch, that would allow a vehicle to cross down through, and also even greater room if they, you know, once every 15 or 20 years when they really do a major clean out, this fence could be removed and the boats could be removed with a little bit of notice. And they were very amenable to that. I drafted an agreement, and it's under review at this point. I was supposed to get...
What we're looking at says 80 feet here, though, right?
Yes, yeah. The actual easement is 80 feet. So we're working with the tax ditch authorities to obtain a written agreement to allow the location of a removable chain link fence at some 25 feet, which would allow for virtually all of the maintenance that's ever been done there.
Right.
But if they wanted more, it would still be a removable chain link fence. Right. And they seem very amenable to that. Exhibit 12 is a Del Dot Transportation Support Facilities Report, which was given in response to a service level evaluation request, and again indicates no significant traffic impact is expected as a result of this proposed rezoning, and I understand that translates into no objection. And Exhibit 13 are various letters in either non-opposition or approval. As Mr. Lank indicated, the three that came in that were reported in the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting were the three that came after this exhibit booklet was presented, I think 10 or 15 days prior to the original hearing. So there's actually eight or nine or so of those, and they are all those property owners that were depicted on tab 8. And Exhibit 14 is just the proposed findings of fact. The one that is in the notebook that, as it was originally presented, was the proposed findings of fact that were submitted to Planning and Zoning Commission, just for reference. And the ones that I distributed tonight have been modified simply in paragraph 7 to add, there was a comment by Sussex County Engineering Department, which started out sounding like it was in opposition to the zoning request, but then ended up saying that it was basically not in opposition as long as there was a recognition that this boat storage was not going to be using any sewer service, which was not available in the area. And I added into the findings of fact number 7 that central sewer service is not available to the subject property at this time, and that at such time as Sussex County extends central sewer service to the area, the on-site sewer system will need to be abandoned and a direct connection made to the county system at the owner's expense, which is verbatim from the utility division's comments. And then the other minor change in paragraph 9 was just simply to note that the proposed use of the subject property is secured boat storage, which essentially is a permitted use under the proposed CR1 zone, which permits boat and boat trailer sales and storage. That's it for my presentation. I'm here to answer questions of a legal nature or based upon this presentation, and certainly Mr. Littleton is also here to answer any questions the council may have.
Any questions, gentlemen? Let's see if there's anyone else here. Is anyone else here who wishes to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized either for or against. Would you like me to read the title?
Yes. Please.
An ordinance to grant,
CR1.
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 2.038 acres, more or less.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
The movement is seconded. We adopt it. Change the zone 1620, as stated, Mr. Cohen.
I don't know who did. So who seconded? They
wanted to. I did.
Dale, thank you.
Didn't hear you. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
We're right here with the five.
Mr. Cole.
I agree with the finding of facts. It's also it's contiguous to a commercial district, and it's also an expansion of an existing C1 use, and I think it's perfect.
Dear Phillips.
It's appropriate use and no opposition in the area. I vote yes.
Mr. Duke?
It's contiguous to the C1, and my vote is yes.
Mr. Rod?
Agree with the facts of finding contiguous to C1. I vote yes.
My vote is yes. Also, I agree with P&Z. Thank you. Motion passed.
Thank you all.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
Thank you.
For
pending and potential litigation.
Potential litigation.
For possible, what? Yeah, litigation. Pending litigation. Okay. Yeah. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed. Okay.